724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to be with us on this beautiful midsummer day. Can you believe these temperatures on the 1st of October? Already 86 degrees here at 12:30 in the afternoon. And we'll tack on at least two or three more, be up near 90 later in the day today. Howie Pentany is with us for the It's Your Turn program today. Howie Pentany from Pentany Capital Management. Howie is a client portfolio manager there in Portersville. Howie, good to see you.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
Have to open up the swimming pools again with weather like this.
Huh? I'm tired. I'm pretty tired of it myself.
Well, hang on for a couple of days. On Friday, the high is only supposed to be around 60. So it'll be an eye-opener for you.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, anyway, we'll enjoy summer while it's hanging on. My guess is this is probably the hottest day you're going to see until probably next July. I mean, there'll be Indian summer days later in October, maybe in November, but I don't think it's going to get up to 90.
Yeah, and then this, the silliness about global warming. You know, I was looking at the temperature records the other day, and the coldest and warmest temperatures happened 80 years ago or 90 years ago, something like that. So we're not even near those, some of those temperatures that occurred way back then. And I think that, the weather is what the weather is, I mean, how many times have you, early in the morning, have you read to everybody, well, it's going to be a warm one today, and then it doesn't get above 30 or something. I mean, so the weather is difficult to call at any time. It's worse than the stock market. You don't know what's going on there. So.
Well, we're going to talk about the stock market today and how investors did during the, not only the third quarter of the year, but also the first three quarters of the year. It's hard to believe, but here we are today. We start the last quarter of 2019. Wow.
Well, when you go to your cocktail party this weekend, you can talk about this, okay? This is the first, this is a number you can use.
Okay.
People think you know what you're talking about. This is the first time in 21 years that the S&P has been up 20% after three quarters.
Hmm.
So as of, who knows what's going to happen next, but as of the first three quarters, the S&P was up 20%. Hasn't happened for 21 years.
Now that's S&P is Standard & Poor's, and that's a measure of 500 stocks. Am I right on that?
It is.
Yeah.
So it's a broad measurement. Most money managers use it to compare returns and pension accounts and that kind of thing. So that's, the Dow's the Dow. Dow's only 30 stocks and, really didn't tell you anything. So the S&P's used by a lot of people, and I like it a lot. But I like the Wilshire 5000 also. The Wilshire 5000... a zillion years ago, it used to have 5,000 stocks. I don't know how many stocks it has in now, like 3,000 or something, but it's still the Wilshire 5,000, Basically, it's a collection of all the stocks traded. So the Wilshire's doing well. I mean, everything's doing well. So you can't hide someplace and say, well, I'm not doing well. So.
Well, even the Dow, and as you said, that's a questionable these days index. It was doing very well until the last couple of weeks of September, and it had two off weeks in a row. Nothing disastrous, but two down weeks after several consecutive weeks of steady gains.
It's been, and we talked about, we talked about that this year since we've been chatting, but, this has been crazy. I've been around for a long time, and I've never seen a market this, I don't know how to describe it. I think it just keeps coming back. One day, there's a lot of bad news out there. The market goes down. 500 points. The next day, it's up 500 points. Mm-hmm. So from one day to the next, you just don't have any idea what's going on. Now, having said all that, we're through summer. So summer is usually, I can go to sleep. It's pretty boring. And it was that way. The market's done nothing. I don't have my chart with me today. But it seems to me that the market is about where it was a year and a half ago. You'd have to look at it. But it was there. That's what it was a few days back, I guess. So the market's done nothing for a year and a half, and it's really done nothing, in the past few weeks. But again, summertime, usually, we're all on vacation or nothing much happening. So, things are kind of slow. The interesting thing about the fourth quarter, you can talk about this at your cocktail party too, and I'm not absolutely positive about these numbers, but the third quarter, October, November, December, ranked number like 5, 2, and 3 or something. It's a really good quarter historically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the strongest quarter, as a matter of fact. So if you're going to be invested historically, this was the time to be invested. This October, November, December is the time to be invested. We don't have a clue what's going to happen, in this quarter. But historically, it's been good. The market's been so resilient. It goes down, comes back, flies back up again. This stuff with China's been disruptive. There's no question about that. I mean, every time the president tweets or twinkles or something with about that, why the market, Trump's my kind of guy. I like the president. I don't like all this stuff that he does. That it's disruptful. It's the markets are up and down. I think it just ought to be quiet. I don't think there's any doubt that we're up 20%. This is a Trump stock market. There's no question about that. And that's why we're doing well, is because he's a businessman, and he put some things into effect that made companies more profitable, and, the tax breaks and blah, 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 blah. But we don't know whether that's going to last or what. But, so far his ideas for improving the economy and, look at the job situation. If you want proof, just look at the job situation. Dave, I run around Butler County all the time. I've never seen so many help wanted signs in my life.
They are all over the place. Yeah.
Now, they're not necessarily jobs that are going to help you raise your family. I understand that. But, man, everybody's looking for help. And that's a good sign. That's a good sign that people are looking for help. And if you need to make a few extra bucks, there's probably a job out there that you can have that'll allow you to make a few extra bucks. So, that's kind of interesting. Somebody asked me the other day, what's going to happen? They asked me a stock question. It was a pretty good question, actually. They said, what is the market going to do when the minimum wage is raised? Well, that's a reasonable question. I thought it could be a significant raise in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think, it's personal opinion, I don't think the market has an issue with that. Now, why is that? Because if you think that the companies are going to absorb this increase in the minimum wage, you're just out there flying around. Because what are they going to do?
Going to be passed on.
Well, pass it on to you and I. You and I, if there are any minimum wage increases, never already started, you and I are going to pay for it. The companies are not going to pay for it. Anybody who thinks, we're going to get these big bad companies, we're going to, make them raise, pay people, blah, blah, blah. Boys and girls, it's not happening. Okay, they're going to pass it on.
I would agree with you, and I'm no expert here. I'm chatting with Howie, but most states around Pennsylvania have already raised their minimum wage. New York State is certainly one, New Jersey. So if Pennsylvania does, I can't see that it would have any effect whatsoever when so many other states already have.
Well, I walked into one of the big box fast food chains the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm looking around. Man, there's nobody at the cash registers. There aren't any cash registers. It was a kiosk. Mm-hmm. If you want to order, you go to the kiosk and order. And then somebody from the back will bring your order out, you know, whether it's a takeout or whatever. So this particular company already figured it out, see. They already know that they're going to get hit with increased wages. So we'll just eliminate the people. If you eliminate the people, it's difficult to give anybody a raise.
See? There's another one. I think it's McDonald's I read. They're already working with voice identification, so they won't even have a person taking drive-through orders. You'll just say what you want, and it'll be automatically done, you know, by a computer voice recognition, and your order will be ready when you get to the when you drive up to the takeout window.
These companies are not stupid, you know. I mean, they understand what's going on, and they didn't get to be where they are without understanding what's going on. And it's interesting to see what they do. You know, what are they anticipating? And what are they doing for planning? I read where one of the, I call him the big guy out there, where you order stuff and it comes tomorrow. They're buying, I don't know how many, 100,000 electric trucks or something? So yeah. They're way out there, see. They're ordering all these trucks that are going to deliver your goods to you by with electricity, you know. So you take a look at that and you say, oh, my goodness, they're really going to do it. And so these companies are looking ahead. And it's a perfect example, Dave. And, of course, this is what people like me look for. You know, if you're looking for investments, you should be looking for companies that you think are going to be around for a while. You don't want one that's going to be here 3 years. You know, you want one that has at least, and nobody knows this, Dave, a 10-year shelf life. You know, do I think this company is going to be here for 10 years? You know, that's kind of my minimum. And if you do, then you look, you know, then that may be a consideration for you. So it's all very interesting. What's going on now with these companies around the world is very interesting to watch. I like watching it. I like reading about it. I like seeing what these companies are going to do. I mean, we're not – one of the things you and I always tell everybody is we're not recommending stocks, so don't pay any attention. I'm not supposed to mention stocks. However, I noticed that Wendy's is going to start serving breakfast again. Now, I don't think it's on the schedule till 2020, but this is an interesting situation, isn't it? I mean, they already went through this once, and, you know, it didn't work out very well. So in 2020, they're going to start serving breakfast again. Well, that's interesting. I mean, let's see what happens to that. I don't have a clue. I mean, it's difficult to imagine that they will be successful facing the competition that they face. But, I mean, you know, stranger things have happened. So I used to think nobody would pay $7 for a cup of coffee. You know, I mean, I thought that was crazy. So you can't rely on me for those judgments. But it's interesting what these companies are doing to try to be more competitive and to stay in front of people.
Well, as Howie mentioned, the opinions that are voiced on this program in the course of our general conversation are for information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. For that, you want to check with your attorney or accountant or financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Howie Penteny from Penteny Capital Management is with us here on the It's Your Turn program today. We're kind of taking a pause and looking at how investors have done over the first three quarters of this year, because as of today, we are headed into the last quarter of 2019. We'll be back with more of the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn right after these words.
auto accidents can be a terrifying experience. Injuries can occur at an impact of just 2 to 3 miles per hour. If you've had an accident, it's time to visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center. Doctors Lucas and Detweiler specialize in treating accident-related injuries from whiplash, soft tissue pain, and headaches to shoulder and arm pain, reduced range of motion, and disc damage. Let the professionals at Applewood Chiropractic provide you with the necessary benefits to aid you in your healing process. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler. Visit applewoodchiro.com.
Welcome your fall morning with the best fall breakfast at Michael's Restaurant. In the fall, mornings are chilly and you just don't want to get up. But head to Michael's Restaurant and savor their pumpkin pancakes, cornmeal mush, or their popular buckwheat pancakes. Breakfast lovers, it's worth getting out of bed for. I promise.
Welcome back, Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on a day that feels very much like July 1st or August 1st, certainly not October 1st, as temperatures are expected to be near 90, not all that far away from it right now here on a gorgeous, sunny, but pretty hot Tuesday. Howie Pentany is with us. Howie is a client portfolio manager with Pentany Capital Management in Portersville. What about the... The trade wars, Trump's trade war with China.
Hasn't it been, the Chinese market's up. Everything's up. I mean, it's just incredible that, I mean, you would think that, you know, this would be having a really a negative effect on everything, particularly China and the United States. And, mm-hmm. I mean, China has some issues. I mean, they had a bad episode of swine flu, and they had to kill millions of pigs because of that. And the Chinese people like pork, you know, they eat pork. So that's, I mean, that, how bad is that? That's bad. They had to kill millions of pigs.
I read about that. Yeah.
And, you know, that's unbelievable. So you would have to think the chicken wars start pretty soon, you know, or something. You know, with all this bad news out here, these markets continue to go higher, and it's just so interesting to watch.
I'm just checking online here right now. Although the U.S. markets are down today, but as you said, they were up 100 points yesterday. So Japanese market is up today. Hong Kong is up. And, boy, there's a place where they've had all kind of strife. People marching in the streets and taking over the airport and everything, and still... Their market is...
It goes to show you something that you and I know just because we've been talking about it forever. It's kind of like in the United States. It really doesn't matter. In other words, President Obama was arguably the president who just didn't like business. And the market did just fine under him.
Yeah,
you know, and so you never know, and I've been watching it for a long time. It whoever's in power usually it doesn't really affect the stock market. The stock markets do what they do, and if people would just understand that, they just do what they do. If the numbers are there, then they do pretty well. You know, it takes good numbers. It takes, generally speaking, it takes falling or low interest rates. Well, our mortgage rates are about as low as they've ever been. Generally, it takes low inflation. Well, according to the government, our inflation's very low. And it takes expanding corporate profits. And it seems like, you know, I don't know what the number is, Dave, but let's say it's 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 companies who are reporting their numbers today are reporting very good profitability. So you got all that stuff. It's no surprise that the market is going up. What's surprising is that it's going up in the face of all the bad news, because there's a lot of bad news out there. But markets generally do that. I mean, if you go back through the world wars and everything, I mean, markets did well at certain times, you know.
Even during World War II, I didn't realize that.
Hmm. Yeah, I forget when that all started. They had the big run. It may have been in the early 40s. I can't remember. But You know, it's interesting how the markets work. They give me the numbers, and I'll do okay. If you don't give me the numbers, then I can't do very well. So they need to be profitable. And even the retailers. I mean, you know, I thought the big guy would just put everybody out of business, truthfully. But that's not happened so far. Now, there are a lot of retailers out there that are struggling, but some of these big box places are doing very nicely, thank you. And even some of the department stores, the top name department stores, some of them are doing just fine. And I kind of figured that, you know, that's why I don't understand retail very well, that, you know, they'd get hurt here. And some have. I mean, I think there's over 8,000 businesses that have gone out of business this year. 8,000. Well, that's not good. And I think that what does that reflect? You know, what does it reflect? It reflects that they didn't have a good business plan. Because there are other companies out there that are doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Everyone tends to, just a story this morning, I think, was a fashion store, and I can't think of the name, but it was mainly ladies' fashions. They announced they're closing their stores, and instantly, you know, the news report blamed it on Amazon. Well, most of the stores for this company were in malls across the country, and shopping patterns have changed tremendously over the past decade. Malls are in decline all over the country.
Walk into Clearview.
Yeah. They're, you know, just a lot of the stores that were in malls are not there anymore. Some of them have moved to other places. Some of them have gone out of business.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think it's fair to pin that necessarily on Amazon, especially clothing stores. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never bought any clothes online.
Well,
I'd like to try on my clothes to make sure they fit.
Well, guess what you can do? You can order them and then send them back if they don't fit. So there is that market. There is that market.
Oh, obviously, some people are. Yeah. A lot of people are buying clothes online.
Exactly.
I haven't done it.
It's been difficult for stores. There's no question about it. I mean, if you look at the stores, you know, a lot of people have the attitude that, you know, they've been put out of business unfairly because of, you know, these giant companies are doing it, and they can price their items below what the mom and pop store can. I mean, there's no question about that. Mm-hmm. That's not imagination. That's true. But I still maintain that there are a lot of companies, and I can talk about a couple of them because they're basically history, but Sears and the like. I mean, they went out of business because they didn't have a business plan. If you don't have a business plan and you're in the retailing business, you've got a problem. You better be out trying to figure out how I'm going to get customers, where am I going to get them. You know, I mean, it's a very difficult environment to operate in when you have these huge companies which sell online. And, I mean, you can go, you don't even have to go to the grocery store anymore, right? You just call your order in and pick it up at the curb. They'll take it and bring it out. There it is. You don't even have to go to the grocery store. Now, I still like going to the grocery store. But I was in one the other day, and I saw this young lady floating around with a cart. And I said, "You look to me like an order person." And she said, "That's exactly what I am." And I said, "Well, how's your business?" She said, "I never get done." In other words, she was going around that store filling orders for groceries. And she said she never gets done.
I've seen that. My evidence is anecdotal, just like yours, but I see them very busily. Again, maybe it's generational. That's not me. I like to pick up my own apples and tomatoes. I don't want somebody else picking up my produce or whatever, you know.
Well, I suspect my son's a millennial, and I suspect that he'd be okay with that. He'd be okay with ordering. I don't know that he does, but, you know, it seems to me that you know, and that's the thing about it. See, Dave, these companies know that you and I are old. right? And we're not going to be around forever. So they've got to appeal to the next generation, see? And that's what they're doing. That's what we don't like it very much. Nobody likes change. I mean, I've said all my life, I don't like change, but the reality, what's the reality of change? The reality is that if things change, it's usually to the better. I mean, I remember, you know, years ago when we went through these huge changes, particularly in my business, and I can tell you right now, it's better for people like me, it's better for our clients, it's better for everybody. So change, in my opinion, usually leads to better things.
You mentioned Sears, which is, I think they still have a handful of stores.
Right,
it's not
right,
very many.
Right.
But that's kind of, to me at least, kind of a unique situation. That whole concept of a giant department store, Sears, Kaufman's, Gimbel's,
right.
Joseph Horn, we're old enough to remember all of those stores, and
right.
hardly any of them are around anymore. That concept seems to have passed into history. It's not necessarily that they weren't good stores. I mean, I didn't go to Joseph Horn's very often or Kaufman's because it was a trip to Pittsburgh, but I mean, when you went in there, it was like, wow, I mean, this is a city unto itself. That model doesn't fly anymore.
Right. It used to be fun to go there at Christmas, for instance.
Yes, exactly.
Because
yeah.
they were, you know, heavily decorated for Christmas, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you could go and it was an adventure, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were having an adventure every day when you went to those stores. And it was fun. But, you know, the world's changed. And, people's habits change. And that's the challenge, see. That's the challenge that these stores have, these retailers have, is figuring out what's next. What are we going to need? You and I talked about this probably about a year ago. Like one of the things, this is my own personal opinion, I don't have any basis in fact for it at all, it's just a personal opinion. I just think that malls would be a great place for senior living. In other words, I could see a mall all of a sudden cutting itself up into apartments or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if apartments is the right word, but I can see malls cutting themselves up and maybe having a grocery store inside of it and, you know, making it easy for seniors to live in a mall and have things right there. They don't have to go outside. It's safe. You know, I mean, that may
be... It's all on one level.
It's all on one level. They're yeah. not walking stairs. My idea doesn't seem to have caught fire. I don't see a lot of that happening. However, I'm like T. Boone Pickens, who died recently. They said about T. Boone, who was an oil man, if you don't know, they said T. Boone was not always right, but he was rarely in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of me. I'm rarely in doubt, but I'm not always right.
Isn't he the guy that donated billions to Oklahoma State? Wasn't that his alma mater?
$800 million.
Oh.
That's incredible. $800 million.
Almost a billion.
And he was broke. Back when I was getting in this business, he was big news in the stock market. Mesa Petroleum, his company, that was it. Whatever Mesa was doing, everybody wanted to do. And he was broke and a billionaire and broke and a billionaire. I mean, he was all over the place. But he was a really cool guy, and I liked him. And he was a typical guy like you'd think of that. He had five wives. And I told somebody the other day, I said, I remember them. And I said they all had one thing in common, and that was that they were not unattractive. So those guys were very flamboyant back then, rich and powerful people, and they were in the oil business. And they were in Texas, generally speaking. They were in Texas, some of those places. And T. Boone's just died. He was 91. And he lost $200 million. He admitted this. He lost $200 million investing in wind power. So he thought that wind power was going to be it. So he invested in wind power, and he lost a couple hundred million. But when he died at 91, he's still really rich, so you know he didn't hurt anything. But back then, when I was growing up, if you will, back then in the 70s and 80s, you know, there were a lot more entrepreneurial men than there are now because they could do it and get away with it, you know. A lot of these oil guys said, you know, well, I can drill a dry hole, but it never discourages me. So those guys just kept it up and kept it up and until they finally struck it. And it's very difficult to find people like that now because it's so difficult to do that. I mean, it's not like you can get funding and all that kind of stuff. Or they're not. I'm not talking about the oil business. I'm just talking about, you know, it's hard to get started in business today because it takes a lot of money and it's very difficult to get funding. So if you can have a good idea, there are a lot of good ideas out there, by the way. How many people what do you read all the time about these people selling these little internet companies that they invented for billions of dollars? Yeah. You know? So there's still, it's not that there aren't people like that out there that are still pretty smart. I like smart people, by the way. I'm a pretty smart guy, but I don't know everything. And I like people who are smarter than I am. So one of my jobs is to find out who those people are and try to figure out what they're doing. And that's a lot of fun if you think about it. If you don't mind having an ego, you know, that lets you, you know, find somebody that's smarter than you. I like people who are smarter than I am. I like to follow them around, see what they're doing.
T. Boone Pickens, if what a name! I mean,
descendant of Daniel Boone, by the way.
Know that?
Yeah,
but he had to be an oil man. If you hear a name like that,
yeah, exactly.
If you never heard of him before. T. Boone Pickens, what do you think he does? It sounds like an oil man to me.
Yeah, and he was.
We need to take a break, and we'll do that when we come back. Speaking of oil, I want to talk about that with Holly because we had an interesting event within the past month that would have, should have, maybe did affect the oil market. I'm talking about the raids in Saudi Arabia. We'll kick that around a little bit when we return to the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. Back in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours. They're making big plans already for the holiday season, which, as you realize now, just around the corner. Here we are, October the 1st. They're taking a lot of trips that you might want to enjoy or take a look at for the holidays. A trip down to Asheville, North Carolina, where the Biltmore is located, and they dress this place up. More than a mansion. It's one of Vanderbilt's castles. Built more by candlelight. And they're taking a 3-day trip down there and back right before Thanksgiving. Get more details from Butler Motor Tours. Also, they are going to the Smoky Mountains, the Great Smokies in Tennessee in early December. A 4-day trip down there for a Smoky Mountain Christmas. You go to Pigeon Forge and a bunch of other places too. Nashville Country Christmas. Visit the Opryland Hotel in mid-December. 3-day trip down there. They're also taking a couple of trips down to Ogle Bay for the Festival of Lights, and that's convenient for a lot of folks who don't want to drive down there to West Virginia in the dark and back in the dark, but still want to see Ogle Bay. One-night trips. Check them out online at butlerbus.com. That's their website, and it's easy to remember. Butler Motor Tours, South Monroe Street in Butler, online at butlerbus.com.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Talking about investing and how the stock market has done so far this year. Generally, okay. Howie Pentany is here from Pentany Capital Management. We had the big strike on the Saudi oil fields, I guess it's about 3 weeks ago now. Everybody's seen the video. It looked horrendous, by the way.
Yeah.
And when you see that black smoke coming up, and right away, in fact, I got an email the next day from some company, and it said, how important to financial markets is a record spike in oil prices. What impact will this have on the stock market? Well, it certainly had an impact on gasoline prices. Last week, here in the Butler area, they jumped up 15 cents a summer on 15 cents a gallon. But now they're back down again. They went down 3 cents this week. And I was just checking on the price of oil even today. It's $53 a barrel. And it's down from yesterday. Right. So, was this a miraculous recovery? Or was this a false alarm that all these people were clamoring about? And it sure didn't take long for them to jump the price of gasoline up 15 cents a gallon, and it doesn't look like that. The price of oil's down again.
That's a short-term situation, Dave. I mean, you know, the Saudis, I think, were ready for something like that. They put those fires out, you know. And so, you know, that had a very... I was thinking to myself when it happened, I said, I'll bet this causes a spike, and then it just goes back down again. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I said, I don't understand the oil market. So, you know, it you can watch it. And, I mean, this year, for instance, this is where the numbers lied. I'm looking at the numbers here. All right, let's go with commodities. Let's look at oils. All right, crude oil is up 19% year to date. Now, the 52-week, it's down 28. So it depends on where you're measuring all of this, see, because oil has a tendency, as you very well know, when it makes a move, get out of the way. You know, you just kind of get out of the way because it'll go up $20, $30 a barrel just, you know, seems like overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of go hide if that happens. But I looked at that thing and I said, you know, I bet this causes a spike, but you know, I don't think it's going to have a long-term effect, and it didn't. And I think it's just because everybody's ready for it now. And plus, the Saudis don't control all the oil like they used to. I mean, the United States is a major player here. So they're not supplying us like they used to as far as, you know, where we get our oil and stuff. So, you know, that's part of it, Dave. You know, granted, it would be an issue if that supply of oil was interrupted for a long period of time,
and the market's changing too.
I mean, exactly.
A lot of cars now use synthetic oil. Mine does. I don't use the real natural stuff anymore.
Right. Well, plus electricity coming along. I mean, you got more electric mm-hmm. cars coming along. And I was telling somebody the other day, you can tell I'm maturing because I don't want to. You know, I want to hear my car start. Can you imagine how many people are going to be hit as they step off the sidewalk because they can't hear an electric car coming? I mean, to me, I think that could be an interesting, serious situation where you can't hear these vehicles anymore.
There is very little. It's like when you come upon a rare person who's mowing their lawn with an electric lawnmower, and you say, "What? Did I suddenly go deaf?" And then you realize that there's no noise. It's electric.
And even, you know, natural gas has been a little bit better, but it's way down. So the issue with energy is there are a lot of countries out there that do not have natural resources. They don't have oil. They don't have natural gas. And so they have to go get it someplace. And, of course, we hope they get it from us. You know, like we have all this natural gas and so on. And, you know, we hope that they come and buy our natural gas. Now, the consumer in the United States doesn't want that because that would drive the price up, see. So the consumer in the United States would rather that we just stay awash in natural gas because it's cheap and you can heat your house and, you know, blah, 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 blah with natural gas and it's not expensive. So a lot of people don't, you know, hope that, you know, that doesn't happen. But I can tell you that there are so many countries out there that don't have natural resources, particularly propane. Propane is in demand. So, you know, that may kick up. That's something else I was wrong on, you know. I thought propane would go up in value a couple of years ago because I thought, you know, the demand was so high. Little did I know that we had so much gas that it didn't make any difference what the demand was. You know, we could fill it.
Well, you also have to transport that. I mean, Russia, for example, supplies a great deal of propane to Western Europe, which influences a lot of their political decisions with regard to Russia, because they don't want the Russians to shut off the propane pipeline. We don't have a pipeline to send propane to Europe. We have to liquefy it and send it on ships.
And that business is pretty hot, by the way. No pun intended. The shipbuilding of those vehicles, of those transports. Because they're unusual. Have you ever seen one of them? You know,
I haven't,
Low in the water and flat and, you know.
So it's a little bit different than an oil tanker?
Kind of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a big demand for those because of the demand for LP gas. So, again, we're just awash in it. I mean, it's everywhere. And until we get that worked out, why, the prices will probably stay low. Again, I have no clue what's going on, but, you know, it'll be interesting to watch that. It's been a boon for, you know, people in the United States and everything, because they've been buying gas to heat their homes and in some instances run their vehicles. And the price is low. Now, they're not going to be happy if and when it ever goes up again, but you know, it has been substantially higher, at least three or four times higher than it is right now. So there's a lot of room to grow, but I'm just not sure when that happens.
Do a lot of people invest in commodities? I mean, it seems like such a, not to use a poker term, you know, you're betting on the come, right? When you're investing in commodities, you're trying to guess what the price is going to be X number of months down the road.
That's all. They've always been very interesting to me. If you go out and do your homework and you look for commodity mutual funds, okay, or whatever kind of investment you do that buys commodities, success is almost non-existent. And I've never been able to figure that out. I ask that question. Once in a while, I get to talk to a commodities person. And I'll say, okay, tell me what's going on. I don't understand why none of these investors cannot make money continuously in commodities. In other words, if sugar is going up, how come you just don't buy sugar and let it go? See, I don't understand that. Now, that sounds like an oversimplification, but, I mean, it's a mystery to me why these commodities people can't make a good number to the point where you would be an investor, for instance. You know, I'm going to buy a commodities fund because commodities are going to go up and, you know, I want to be in there, and so I'm going to buy a fund. Well, let me tell you something. I've been looking at these things for years. There are very few people who can manage commodities funds. It's very difficult. You never know where orange juice is going to go. And, you know, you can talk about the weather and freezes in Florida and all that kind of stuff, but you just don't know. Oil. I mean, how would you like to guess that? How would you like to guess that? Wheat. I mean, you got to feed people, but, you know, it all depends, for instance, on yields and harvests that our farmers have. You know, are they going to do okay? And, you know, what's going on with all that? It's a very difficult market, the commodities market. I've just never seen any way or seen anyone who's been a really competent manager of commodities. I've been looking at them for years.
I didn't even know there were commodity mutual funds.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult market because of the volatility. I mean, things are up and down. And you take, talk about boring. I was looking at the Dow Jones Commodity Index, and I think I'm right about this. But it looked to me like it was up about 5%. Well, I'm sorry. The Standard & Poor's up 20. Why would I want to own commodities that are up 5?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's very difficult to justify investing in commodities when the records aren't good. Now, having said all that, Nobody says it's not going to change tomorrow. I mean, commodities could get hot and, you know, blah, 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 they could go up. I mean, gold is a commodity, for instance. And, you know, it looked to me like it had run out of the precious metals. I'm talking about precious metals, not necessarily gold. But I watched precious metals once in a while, and it looked to me like they'd had it, you know, in the middle of September or something like that. They'd had a great run, and they just looked to me like they ran out of gas. Now, you know, that's not to say they're not going to start back up again, but sometimes it's funny how you don't want to believe it. If you are an investor and you're not on that side, if you don't own that, it's really difficult to get on board. If you know, if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm right, you know, get out of here, that's not going to work. And then, of course, you know what happens. It just continues to go. So it just looked to me like they were running out of gas a few weeks ago, and I think they did. But again, we could have a huge rally tomorrow, and, you know, it wouldn't make any difference. So
commodities, an interesting facet of the market investing. There's energy, which we were just talking about, mainly oil and natural gas, metals, gold, silver, platinum, and copper.
Mm-hmm.
Copper.
Mm-hmm. Copper's the hottie, you know. That's the one that people. I don't want to say that more people watch than watch gold, but people who know commodities watch copper, and they like to see what it's doing.
Sometimes you can tell by just what's in the news,
right?
You know, when people are stealing copper all over the place. Remember a couple of years ago when people were, you know, digging up electric towers. I can't think of anything more dangerous. But they wanted the copper ground wires.
Well, I laugh at the take a look at the Wall Street Journal, for instance. Everything, the Wall Street Journal these days, on the left side of the front page, I don't know if you've ever noticed that, on the left side of the front page, there's a line of stories that goes down the left side of the front page. They're very brief, you know. Gold hit $70 and, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is on the left side of the column. And I tell everybody asks me, do you watch television? I said, I have not, and this is very true, I have not watched a TV news channel, an evening news, since about 1975. I have not watched the TV evening news since about 1975. And the reason I don't necessarily want to look at it is it's all bad. I mean, when you go on, you know, everybody will tell you how bad things are and how many people were killed in an accident. I mean, it's all bad news. I can read the left side of the Wall Street Journal, and there's probably 40 stories there, maybe. And that'll tell me everything I need to know about what's going on in the country. Good and bad, by the way. So if you try that sometime, I urge you to try that sometime. Don't watch TV news. Watch the left column of the Wall Street Journal. Just look at it every day and tell me that whether or not it tells you everything that's going on. Because it does. And not necessarily the journal, but, you know, financial I call them rags. Financial publications will tell you the same thing. So, you know, those of us in the business of investing, and you know, I think I don't know whether other people do that or not, Dave. I'm just talking about myself. But I just look at the left side of the column. See, it's like going to the, it's like buying somebody dinner, and you don't want them to buy the cheapest thing on the menu. Okay, you're taking them to dinner. But you don't want them to buy the cheapest thing. So you tell them what? Don't look at the right side of the menu. Okay? If you want them to eat whatever they want to eat, you just say, don't pay attention to the right side of the menu. Well, you can do that with a lot of things. You know, food in a restaurant is not the only thing, but there's a lot of things out there that you don't have to look at the right side of the menu to know that, you know, what's going on. So, you know, it's so easy today to know what's going on. I mean, it used to be people like me, you know, I had a running start on most people because I read Business Week, Barron's, Forbes, You know, I mean, I read all these periodicals, and so I knew a lot. Well, now, go on to Google or someplace and check it out. You don't have to read the newspaper.
Yeah, they're all there.
Everything's there.
Are the publications for investors and professionals still about the same as they've always been? Is the Wall Street Journal, Forbes?
Generally, what's happened to them is most of them have died.
Oh.
However, the aforementioned ones are still out there. But they've had to change, Dave. You know, if you take a look at the Wall Street Journal, you know, it's not unusual to see on the journal that somebody found a 38-foot white shark someplace. Doesn't have anything to do with investing. So most of these periodicals have branched out. They're not just about investing. They can be about anything. You know, they can talk about anything that they want to talk about, and it doesn't have to be about investing. And why is that? Because people want to know those things. People are reading them not just for financial news. They want to know other things that are going on. And, you know, one of the big things that's going on now is the General Motors strike. And my grandfather grew up working in a coal mine when it was bad. I mean, I remember he got hurt in a coal mine, and he was at home. It was his leg. And he wasn't getting paid. He had to go home and wait till that leg healed because there weren't unions, see? And there was nobody to help him out, take care of him. I remember that distinctly. And that was in the, probably, I would guess, in the early 50s. So it's interesting to watch the General Motors strike because, see, I don't understand this at all. I mean, this is costing General Motors, I don't know, I read the number and I can't remember what it was. It might have been $100 million a day, I don't know. But if you strike General Motors, what's going to happen to, you know, what's happening here? Are you going to, if they don't, here's my deal, they want, the union wants protection, and of course we all understand this. The union wants wage protection if the economy goes down. Now think about that. The union wants wage protection if the economy goes down. Well, how can General Motors pay the wages and continue to pay the wages if they're not selling any cars? See, I don't get all of that. Like, I'm pro-union, and I understand there's a place for them and all that stuff, but I don't understand this. Like, if cars were being sold, you know, blah, just crazy and so on, then go ahead and strike General Motors. I'm all for that. I mean, you know, you deserve, you're a worker at General Motors, you deserve some of the profits. Well, that's true. I'll go along with that. But what happens when the economy goes south? You know, it's difficult for me to understand how you can expect people to guarantee you wages if they don't have the money. How does that happen?
I'm a little unclear on that strike anyway, because it's my understanding, unless I'm hearing it wrong, that Ford and Fiat Chrysler settled with the UAW, but General Motors did not. That's the only company that's being struck.
Yeah, and it's and it's just a mystery to me, and I'm not a good spokesperson one way or the other. I'm kind of pro-union, but I don't understand. You know, I think that you need to have representation. I don't think there's any question about that. But, man, striking General Motors, if I was a general, these guys are making the benefit packages for these gals and guys is something about $57 or $58 an hour. That's what that's what they're earning in benefits and wages. $56 or $57 an hour. I think I'm right about that. I'm not positive. But I think that number's pretty good. So, to me, that sounds like a lot of money. A layman. $56, $57 an hour. There's a lot of people out there working for $15, $16, $20 an hour. So, if you're making $67 an hour, how can you go on strike? See, I'm just losing it someplace. I understand you want protection. I get all that. But this is a difficult environment, in my opinion, to strike. I don't care if you're a school teacher. I don't care who you are. Today, it's a difficult environment to go on strike.
We'll take a final break. We're chatting with Howie Pentany, and we'll be back to wrap up our conversation with Howie here on It's Your Turn on WISR Today right after these words.
The Battery Warehouse Plus family is proud to announce the opening of West End Tire and Service, formerly Seaman Tire Services. Keeping commerce alive in Butler is important, and at West End Tire and Service, they vow to keep the same great people and great service that Seaman's provided for years by offering a vast selection of tires, installation, and service. West End Tire and Service is looking forward to serving the community and expanding their service offerings in the near future. Stop by West End Tire and Service, 459 West Cunningham Street in Butler, or call 724-287-6973.
Home care through Concordia Visiting Nurses includes services which foster recovery, rehabilitation, recuperation, and health education. Ask your doctor about medical support needs at home. Ask for a referral for Concordia Visiting Nurses and enjoy the benefits of skilled practitioners coming to your home to help you feel better. For tips for family caregivers, visit elderpagespittsburgh.com.
The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
Welcome back. Our time's about gone, but I wanted to chat with Howie Pentany for a minute about the wage gap, the income gap, I guess, would be a better description between the rich and the poor, because it's been in the news a lot for the past couple of years.
It's terrible. I mean, I don't think it's terrible, but I don't like it very much. I've said, you know, I obviously do business with people who have money. And the spread is widening between the people that have money and the people that don't have money. This is not a good thing. But I don't have a clue what to do about it. The only thing that I can know that I know that you probably shouldn't do is tax the people who worked all their lives and made a lot of money and made themselves wealthy. I'm just against that. I'm against taking money from people who have worked hard and penalizing them because they worked hard. Now, having said all that, you have to be charitable. We have to take care of people who are less fortunate. I'm all about that. I think we have to take care of people who are less fortunate. But to say that you're a bad person, the infamous 1%, you know, Dave, the infamous 1% of the wealthy people are bad people because they have money. Well, that's not fair. You know, that's not fair. But I don't know how to fix it. See, I mean, I talk about it all the time. You know, the spread's wide and it's widening. And a lot of it has to do with the stock market, because people who had money invested, and then they ended up getting more money because of the stock market. But, man, it's a difficult problem. I mean, I don't have a clue how you fix this. Now, hard work, an old friend of mine said to me one time, work hard, save your money, and invest. Those were his three rules about how do you get along in life. You work hard, you save your money, and invest. You know, those sound like three pretty good rules to me. I mean, and it's not like, in Butler County, I'm not sure this is, a huge problem, because These people are hard workers in Butler County. You and I have talked about this too. If you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go out on Interstate 79, you're going to be there's a lot of people going to work. Okay, so people in Butler County are not lazy. You know, I don't think so. I mean, I think they get up and they go to work. And if you do that, if you get up and go to work and save your money and then invest it, it's likely that nobody's going to have to take care of you one of these days, that you're going to be able to take care of yourself if you do those things. And it's not 100%, it's not black and white, Dave, but work hard, save your money, and invest, and you'll probably be okay.
Howie Penteny visiting with us today. Howie is a client portfolio manager at Penteny Capital Management in Portersville. And you can call him there and talk to him if you so desire. Howie, it's always fun to talk to you today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot. It's going to be cool to see what we do at the end of the fourth quarter, okay, when you and I talk at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because we're up 20, so.
Yeah, and as you said, these 3 months are usually pretty active, so.
If it were up to me, I'd just shut it down.
That wraps up our program for today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your summer-like day, and hope you can be with us 12:30 tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Bushy blonde hair.